Father, first of all, again, it's such a joy to be able to know your innermost thoughts, the intimacy of you sharing with us what's on your mind. And it's always so good to be able to hear from you, to know your ways, to experience your fondness for all of humanity and how you invite us into living in the fullness of what your Son has done for us. So thank you for your glory. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit this morning. Again, to share, to touch our lives, but also the people of our nation and the nations and all over the world, Father, as you are drawing people to your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the miracle of salvation that has come because of your Son, Jesus. So today, Lord, as we listen again, as you share with us, we just say yes to you, God, through Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to be going through the book of Romans chapter 8. And we're looking this morning, we're going to be starting with what the redeemed mind is and beginning to understand a little bit more of the reality of the mind of Christ. And so that is sort of what we're going to be going into as we continue this morning. So as God has been sharing with me about the redeemed mind that we have in Christ, it's probably been one of the bigger, again, breakthroughs in becoming very conscious of the thoughts of God and living in that consciousness, that awareness of God's thoughts, and it's life-changing. And what we shared this morning, it's, you know, we all know it. We all know the scriptures. And yet at the same time, it's like an awakening and just a deeper sort of walk in that reality as we just grow in the truth of the mind of Christ. As Peter writes in 2 Peter, add to your faith, you know, and one of the aspects of adding to your faith is a revelation of knowledge, because then we become more fruitful as we walk in the truth of what God is sharing. And obviously it's established, and then there's more fruit. So all the time it's just we're getting increasing in the fruitfulness of who we are in Christ Jesus. So exciting times as we're growing together. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let me just read there from verse 1 onwards again. Let me go to verse 5. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, and this is important, I'm going to come back to this, but to understand our where we start, we're starting here in verse 9. This is who we are. Okay, everyone, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit, and every one of us who have a relationship with God, this is our reality. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So this is the born-again believer versus the unsaved. Those that are still in Adam and those that are in Christ Jesus. So Paul is comparing, and he's showing you the difference between the mind that is still in the realm of the control of the sinful nature, and those who of us in Christ Jesus, where that control has been broken, and the difference of the redeemed mind and the mind is not regenerated. And so here in verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead would also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Now, I've included that verse 10 and 11 as well, because you will begin to see the effects of the redeemed mind in connection with our whole being. And that's why it's all part of the same thing. But we're going to start off here a little bit in verse basically 5 and 6 and look at over there. Remember back in Romans chapter 1, when we are speaking about the gospel of God, the good news of God to mankind. And the good news, remember, it includes the humanity of Jesus. It includes his death, his resurrection, and it includes the reality of Christ now seated with God, his ascension and seated with God in the heavenly realms. So it includes all of that. That's all part of the good news. And everything about the good news is in his son, Jesus Christ. And we must never forget that it's all about his son, Jesus. And everything, the full package of this good news, this full package of what Christ has done, we receive it by faith. And the Spirit of God is helping us to be able to live more and more in the full package of salvation. And so that's why all the time the Holy Spirit will share, by faith we receive, and we get established in that, and we grow in that, and become more fruitful in the full package of salvation in his son Jesus Christ. And so in this, I think we're always going to be blown out of our minds because of the wow factor of Christ Jesus. But also just to one more point before we go on there, in verse 16 of that Romans, when we speak about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is a power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes. And that word brings, just to put it in the context, that word brings, it's referring to the purpose of the power of God. The power of God, the purpose of that is to bring us into the full package of salvation in his son Jesus Christ. And that's the Holy Spirit's work in you and I, all the time bringing us into, and obviously there's the final reality when Christ returns and so forth. But right now, we're moving into a far greater awareness of what salvation is all about, this incredible good news of our Heavenly Father. So let's go back to Romans chapter 8 quickly. Paul is writing about the mind. And if we go, remember last, a few weeks back, we looked at Romans 7 at the end over there, where we see there, where Paul is speaking about this conflict of the mind and of the body of sin. And there's this battle taking place. And so he says there in verse 21 in chapter 7, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my innermost being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And then he says, wow, how am I ever going to get out of this? How am I ever going to get the victory over this way that this sin has taken my mind captive? Because remember, we looked at verse 22. In verse 23, and we saw there that what this is referring to is that the law of sin begins this military operation to capture the mind, so that in our mind we say, oh, we want to do good, we want that command that God is giving is a good command, but we find there that the sinful nature takes that thought captive, and so we then become obedient to disobedience. We become obedient to that law of sin and death. Okay. And so Paul is then writing the experience of mankind, man, who's going to ever deliver me? How am I ever going to have the victory over my mind? How am I ever going to have the victory where this sinful nature has just taken me captive again? And although I want to do good, I cannot. I'm committed to disobedience. I'm committed to disobeying what God is saying. And that, and there's this conflict that's taking place. And then he cries out there, but thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. And so he's sharing the problem. He's sharing the conflict. He's sharing all of us, but he's focused and he says, but praise be to God, because there is a way of deliverance, and that is in Christ Jesus. And that's when he starts back into now Romans chapter 8. Now, in Romans 8, he goes on and he says, but those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. You're in the realm of the Spirit. Okay. And so we see over here that all of us who are born again, we have the deliverance. So, for instance, we have a scripture. Remember that one in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we often quote it, and Paul is now showing, and he's starting to share, how do we have deliverance? How do we go about so that we find that sin doesn't take our mind captive and we are obedient to disobedience? We are obedient to that law of sin. How do we have the victory? And obviously, Paul has been speaking in Romans chapter 6 about us dying to him and being raised up with him so that we can live this new life of the Spirit. But he's breaking it up even further, giving us further understanding. And a scripture that helps us to see the victory in Christ Jesus is we see the opposite taking place here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he says to them, some people who think that we live by the standard of this world, no longer do you and I live by the flesh. Remember our starting point, we are in the Spirit. We are in the realm of the Spirit, and that's who we are. We are this child of God. We're in the realm of the Spirit. So we have a total different starting point and an outlook and a way of life. Not like this, that we don't live like by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Okay, because we're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. Okay, and so we live differently. Our starting point of life, we wake up differently because we're in the Spirit of God. We're in the realm of God's Spirit. That's where we live. That's who we are. And so we've got to renew our mind to this and accept the incredible truth of what it is to be in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now look at verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Can you see the victory? Before, when you're not born again, before we see over there that there's no ways that we are able to take our thoughts captive and make it obedient to Jesus, because that's the conflict Paul is writing in Romans 7, because sin captures our mind and we become obedient to sin. And now all of a sudden we see in Christ Jesus a victory. We now say no. So when, for instance, like in that James chapter 1 about temptation, when temptation comes our way, we now have the authority in Christ Jesus. We live in the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life is operating. And so we say, no, we are not going to be obedient to that at all. We take that thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. Totally the opposite. That's the victory of the redeemed mind. And that's the, as Paul writes there, it's life and peace. And so we begin to understand we have an incredible, being a new creation in Christ, there's so much freedom, there's so much liberty. we're beginning to understand the power of God for salvation, so that our minds, remember when we got born again, our minds have been taken out of the dominion of darkness. Our minds are in Christ Jesus as well. Okay. It's no longer there in Adam. You know, and so that is why we now start to live in the reality of this is the truth about our minds right now. And the life, the law of the Spirit of life is now operating within us, so that our minds are no longer taken captive by the power of sin. Because now we don't serve sin anymore. That power is broken within us, as we saw there in Romans chapter 6. No longer do we have to serve sin anymore. We now, in Jesus, we say no, and we now offer our bodies to God, and we become slaves to righteousness and no longer slaves to sin. The great victory. So who will deliver us from this dilemma of sin and all that kind of stuff? Praise be to God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the salvation. He is the power of God for salvation. He is the good news. And so we experience the freedom that we have over there. Okay, so now I want to go to another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a very, very, it's one of those powerful scriptures that are something that we don't realize. We've read it a lot, but it's just something that we just don't want to realize. And this, I believe, is what the Holy Spirit wants to just unlock and make us conscious of in our daily living right now. Paul is writing about the wisdom of the world, the understanding, the knowledge, the way the mind of the natural man works. Again, he's comparing the natural man, and he's comparing it to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And the contrast again. And he says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. Very important statement. What no human mind has conceived is dealing with everyone born of the flesh, all that are still in Adam. No human mind is able to conceive the things of God. Okay? The things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Okay, now look at the following verse here. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? So our human spirit knows what we are thinking. Our human spirit knows what we are thinking. That is why you'll find that what we are thinking affects our human spirit. Okay? And I'll explain that more as we go on. And that's why verse 11, 10 and 11 in Romans chapter 8 plays a big part in our bodies and our health and all that kind of stuff. Okay? If we don't realize what the power of God has done concerning our redeemed mind, so that we can think in line with the Spirit, our human spirit also knows that, what we are thinking, and we living from our spirit out, not from the flesh inwards. And that's why you'll find this is going to play a big role in the breakthrough. Now listen to what Paul writes here. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So just as our human spirit knows what we are thinking, knows our thoughts, so the Holy Spirit exactly knows what the thoughts of God is, what God is thinking. Okay? The same truth. Then he goes on and he says, what we have received is not the spirit of this world. Okay, so you and I, when you and I got born again by the Spirit of God, we did not receive a human spirit. We did not receive, again, just the speaking about the Adamic realm, the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and all that kind of stuff. No, you and I, what did we receive? This is a gift from God. This is our starting point. We have already received. What did we receive? We received the Spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may understand what God has freely given us. When we simply just by faith, just simply believe the Spirit of God who knows the very thoughts of God, you and I have received in order for us to be able to know what God is thinking. You know how intimate that is. You know how incredibly loving that is of our Father, that you and I can know the very thoughts of Almighty God, this incredible, loving, good Creator. We can have insights. We can know His way of thinking. We can know what's on His mind, not only for us, but for humanity. And it's by simply just getting to that place this morning, this is what I have already received. And by that simple faith, there will become such an awakening of a consciousness of the thoughts of God as we live our day-to-day lives. What's the result of that? Well, the result we see there, again, let's go back to Romans 8. The result of this is what Paul writes over there. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What does Jesus speak about life? Again, what's his definition of life? Remember John chapter 17. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We have received the Spirit of God, who knows the very thoughts of God, so that you and I can know the thoughts of God. We can know what He's freely given to you and I. We now have the mind of Christ. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the evidence. Let's go back. In John chapter 4. Or let's go to John chapter, first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. What takes place when we get born again by the Holy Spirit? We get born from above, born by the Spirit of God, born again. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So our human spirit, as I've often shared, is in the oneness with God. It's in the union with God. And the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit what God is busy thinking. What are his thoughts? What's on his mind? What's on his heart? And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Let's go to John chapter 4. And remember with the Samaritans' worship in verse 23, yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are no longer in the realm of the flesh. You and I are in the realm of the Spirit. We have received as a gift the Spirit of God, who knows the deep things in the mind of God, in the heart of God. And the Spirit of God has revealed it to us. He continually takes what is Jesus and makes it known to us. John chapter 14 through to chapter 16, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so now we see an amazing truth. So when we go back to Romans 8, verse 15, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you a slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received, this is, we have read every child of God, this is our starting point. We have received the Spirit of God. And the result of this, we have received the Spirit, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And that's the incredible reality of the redeemed mind. That the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit. Our spirit knows what we are thinking. So when we are thinking that is contrary to truth, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that is not truth. Now, because of the law of the Spirit working with us, we take every thought captive that's disobedient to the very truth that the Spirit is taking, and knowing the thoughts of God concerning our lives or the situation, the Spirit is sharing with our Spirit is testifying and saying, no, 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 and the law of the Spirit, the victory in Christ Jesus, we take that thought captive and make it obedient, and so we walk in life and we walk in peace. See, that's why this power of salvation is so, so brilliant. This gospel of God is so, so brilliant because it includes everything about our lives. There's nothing left out of what Christ has done. There's total, total salvation. Remember, salvation is God delivering us out of sin and its consequences through his Son, Jesus Christ. And here we're beginning to see again how the Spirit of God will testify with our spirit when we don't operate. Let's look at an example. Let's go in Philippians. What did Jesus say? What is eternal life? Eternal life is to know God, the true God. Okay? The Spirit will take the thoughts of God and share with our spirit so that we may know the true God. So now we have a situation in life. All of a sudden, we may be anxious about something. So how does this operate? Well, Paul says, okay, there's anxiety in your heart. Your spirit knows what you're thinking. He knows the anxiety. Your spirit, your human spirit knows what's causing the anxiety, knows everything. The Holy Spirit now testify with your spirit. Now you take every thought captive. So what does Paul say? Okay, this is a way of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in who? Rejoice in the Lord always. You see, the power of God. Christ is the salvation. Christ is the gospel. Deliverance, salvation, the victory. Who is going to deliver me from this law that's controlling my mind. Rejoice in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the answer. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. What is life? The mind of the unsaved is death. The mind of those who are in the spirit is life and peace. What is life? Knowing God, that He's a true God. It's relational. So why can we rejoice? Because the Lord is near, knowing He's in the situation. The Spirit is testifying to our spirit the reality of God's thoughts about the situation. And all of a sudden, what's taking place? The consequence is we walk in life, the knowing God, the experiencing the life of God, experiencing the life of Christ Jesus, experiencing what eternal life is all about. And the result of all of that is peace. Okay? And so what does Paul say? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Where? In Christ Jesus. This is how it works. And the God of peace will be with you. And so the moment, that's why when we connect that our human spirit knows what we're thinking. And this, because our spirit is in union with God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will testify to our spirit that what we are thinking, if it's right, we experience peace, we experience the life, we experience the reality of what Christ has done. And so you've got a joy in your step. You've got, you know, there's that peace reality and that. But when we find that maybe there's anxiety or fear or whatever the case may be, your spirit knows that. The Holy Spirit will testify. Is that communication? The Spirit of God testifies with your spirit that you are sons of God, that you are the incredible Abba Father is your Father. And so the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit about the Father, takes what Jesus has done, makes it known, and straight away we are now. We have the victory. We now are more than conquerors because in Christ Jesus, that law of sin and death is broken. And now you and I are able to say, take that thought captive, make it obedient to Jesus and live in the peace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the life of the Spirit of God operating in you and I. And so it is an amazing truth this that God is just helping us just to become conscious of. We know this, but there's a consciousness now. So whenever we find ourselves maybe anxious or worried about this or worried about that, you know, stop. And you know that those thoughts, your spirit knows what you're thinking. The Holy Spirit is communicating with your spirit. Your spirit is communicating with the Holy Spirit. There's a communication. The Holy Spirit is ministering, is testifying with your spirit. So you're living from your spirit man outwards. And so now you and I, we are taking what the Spirit is sharing about Jesus, the reality of us being in Christ, what Christ has done, the power of the gospel of God for us who believe. The Holy Spirit will always be sharing Jesus to us. And now all of a sudden, as we simply take those thoughts captive, peace, life, that's our reality. And that's what we walk in. And that's why we can rejoice in the Lord always, because who's going to deliver us from this? Praise be to God, Jesus Christ. Okay. the power of Christ is brilliant. And that when we look, for instance, quickly at Romans chapter 12, again, it's a well-known scripture that we read all the time. But what does Paul write over there? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Again, he's just repeating himself of what he's been saying in Romans chapter 8 and what we've been reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as well. So it's a reality where we are now living from our spirit out. So we're taking our mind captive. We're renewing our mind to what the Spirit of God is testifying with our spirit. What's taking place? The transformation, the inner transformation taking place in our lives. So we are not conformed by the pattern of this world because we do not have the mind of this world. We did not receive this, the spirit of this world. We have received the Spirit of God. And that's our reality. That's our starting point, guys. In Christ Jesus, we have received that. And that's our reality. So as we just conclude over here as well, we see here in Colossians and chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Profound truth. And that's the reality that you and I operate. As we see over here, we can offer our bodies to become servants of sin as a born again believer. We can offer our minds back to that place of fear and slavery. Just like Paul says, put off the old, put on the new. You and I in Christ Jesus, when we constantly have that awareness that in him we are in the realm of the Spirit, and the Spirit of life works, so we're not conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. We're not molded by the way the world thinks. We are not molded by the way people think about us, etc. Totally, we are totally in Christ Jesus, and now the thoughts of God, that's our new mold. Christ is our new mold. We're grown up in him, and so we are molded by Jesus. We are molded by God's thoughts and what he thinks, and that's pretty big, and that's pretty awesome. And that's who we are. We are now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. So I trust that this is helpful. For me, it's, as I shared, it's been pretty, what I find in this is that the more we become conscious of the fact that the Spirit testifies with our spirit the things of God, and the life in the peace is reality, the more we begin to see that the full love of God, the fullness of God's love, is in Christ and expressed through Christ Jesus. And the reality of what Christ has done, the incredible power of the cross of Christ Jesus, becomes so incredibly precious to one, because you more and more you get the mind of God concerning what he has done in his son. It is the power of God for salvation, and it's just an amazing thing. And this is a safeguard for you and I, because there's so much teaching going on there. There's so much new stuff that's going on and over there. All the time, we've got to get back. God has spoken through his son Jesus, and is being established. The Spirit will only take what is Jesus and testify with your spirit the reality of Jesus Christ, the love of God that is made known through Jesus Christ. And it's going to be such a foundation for you and I to live and to build our lives. And that's why Paul says over there that the revelation of the love of Christ in Ephesians 3, the depth, the height, the width, and all that in Christ Jesus is the foundation in which we build our lives. And that's why, as we just become conscious, and by simply believing and by faith, just accept, Holy Spirit, you in me, you know the very thoughts of God, and you will share with my spirit. And in your way, you'll help me to begin to recognize it, to know what you're sharing there. Thank you for the power that you've given me through Jesus, your laws operating. I don't have to become obedient to the fear. I don't have to become obedient to disobedience. I don't have to become obedient to anxiety or anything like that. There, now in Christ Jesus, I can have the victory. I can take those thoughts captive and make those thoughts obedient to you, Jesus. And there's just a tremendous awakening of just how awesome, how good, and we live in peace. We live in incredible life and peace. And that's part of the awakening now for you and I as we move into what's still coming in the nations. We'll be able to stay in life. We'll be able to stay in peace. So as we have communion this morning, I trust that you'll just enjoy knowing him and experiencing a life in Jesus Christ. And just maybe today, the day where you just need to thank you, Iris. You've given me your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you. It's such a tremendous gift. You know the thoughts of God. Thank you that you testify with my spirit, and I just receive that I may know the mind of Christ in my day-to-day life. Amen. Father, again, we want to thank you for the love that you have made known, your full package of love, that total package of your love, all the reality of love. You have made it known in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we on earth can know what the fullness of your love is all about. And I'm asking today, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that you will give us the power to grasp the depth, the width, the love, the height, the incredible, the full dimension of this love of Christ for us. And we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, throughout this week as you will establish this in our hearts, making us very conscious of the Father's thoughts. Help us this week to walk in the reality of life and peace. Confirm this to all of us, Father. And this we ask through your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, as we just eat together with you again and with the heavenly realm, we want to thank you, Lord, for what you have done in bringing us into this new life in you. And we just want to thank you for that this morning. Amen. Oh, just enjoy the communion.